going that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me. Oh, is with me stay. I'm clinging to him. And never to stray, and never to stray. Yes, singing his praises all day long. I'm going that, I'm going that way. Amen, amen. I hope and pray that we're all going that way, that we have our destination set on our GPS for heaven, and that each and every day we're just one step a little bit closer and a little bit closer. I know this is the only world we've ever known experientially, and you know, and heaven, while we know it's a reality and we know that it's certainty, we haven't seen it yet, and yet there is hope and anticipation, and each and every day as we continue just moving forward with great hope and anticipation, heaven is looking better and better and better and better. As we look at the world around us, as we look at tragedy that happens, even in the midst of our own selves, heaven is given as hope that there is better than what lies right here in this side of life. I want to just say that I've been praying for many of you. It seems like there's a lot going on right now. There is a lot going on in the lives of people right now, and especially in the lives of us. A lot of affliction. That cancer word seems to just keep, week by week, we keep hearing more and more. People, sickness and death and all sorts of things that are just going on in this life. And I started thinking, and matter of fact, I see Brother King here. we spent some time together this week, and it's funny. Every time I go to visit Brother King to encourage him, I leave encouraged. And, you know, with the troubles that he's been going through with health-wise and all that, we just sat there and we laughed and we talked. And one thing that he said to me, you know, as he's kind of looking over a situation, he said, man, if God doesn't do one more thing for me, he's done enough. He's done enough. And I left there with that, thinking about that. If God doesn't do anything, and I agree with that sentiment. I agree with it completely. And that's the kind of God that I serve, and he's been so good to us. And even in the midst of affliction and trials and tribulation, we can still look to God and say these words, thank you, because God is good, has been good. That's part of his nature, and he's been good, extremely good to us. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 to 16. And you can read it on the screen with me. Through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of our lips that openly profess his name, and do not forget to do good and to share with others, for with such sacrifices God is pleased. Let us bow. Dear Lord, you have been so good to us. And even in the midst of storms, and even in the midst of issues and problems, Lord, we never want to forget how good you are. We never want to let your praise that is rightfully deserved, that you rightfully deserve, Lord. We never want to allow that to escape from our lips, Lord. We want to tell others of your goodness, even in the midst of the storms. Lord, help us. Help us to see the good. Help us to trust in your good. Help us to see past the affliction and the storms, and be able to look, to see your goodness, to see your loving hand, to see your grace and your mercy, to see the blessings that flow only from you, Lord, and that we might receive that we might reflect on it,
And as we reflect on your goodness, Lord, that we might be able to share that with others, that this sacrifice of praise might be on our lips wherever we go, that we might tell the story, tell of your goodness, tell of your grace, tell of your mercy. Help us, Lord, as we look at these seven things, help us to be able to, at the end of it all, always remember to say thank you. Amen. Let us all say now, amen. God is good. And all the time, God is good. Amen. You know, we got to remember that our thanksgiving is a, first of all, an act of obedience. We're called to be thankful. And it's not just an act of obedience. It's a way for us to glorify and to honor a God that has given to us and has blessed us with so much. You know, when we think about our parents and all that they do for us, and not just parents, anyone who's ever done anything good for you, anyone who's poured into you and blessed your life and enriched your life, thank you. I think it's just a small word, you know, in comparison to the blessings that has been given to us, the sacrifice that has been made for us. But even though it's such a little word, it's so important, isn't it? It brings joy. I don't know for me when my child like really means it. Sometimes I gotta pull a thank you out of them. Hello, yeah, you gotta pull it out of them. You do a good deed. Did you see what I just did for you? Did you see how I just blessed you? And they go, oh, thank you. But when it comes from the heart, when it comes from you know from within themselves, I stand back, amazed, thankful for the thank you. Thankful for it. And it puts a smile on my face. And I wonder how God looks at us as his children when he continues to pour and pour and pour into our lives. And we don't even say thank you. We complain. Hello. We complain. We get into our little pity parties about what we don't have or where we aren't or what is happening and all that. And all the while, we forget. We can be like those 10 lepers. You remember, there was only one that went back and showed himself to the priest. The priest declared him clean. And then after all of that, he goes back to find Jesus to say thank you. But if we're looking at the numbers there, that's one out of 10. And I wonder, is that representative of us? I hope not. I hope it isn't. But I wonder, you know, do we spend enough time saying thank you and seeing the blessings that are right there in front of us that we miss because of the dark clouds that are there? I want to briefly, I know y'all saw number 7 up there and said, well, hold on, how's he going to do this in this amount of time? I will. And if I'm long, just sit strong. It's like that. First, we want to thank God for his goodness. Thank God for his goodness. This is the goodness that ought to move someone to repentance, ought to move someone to a realization that you need to change. And Romans 2:4, Paul says, or do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, his forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? When you recognize how good God is to you, how much he's been blessing you, how much he's been pouring into your lives, how many doors he has opened, how many times he has stopped you from dangers seen and unseen, and how good God has been to us, it ought to cause us to go, oh, hold on a second. I need a shift. I need a change. I need to turn to him, to this God who continues to love me in spite of my stuff. Instead of my stuff, he continues to love me. That ought to make me care. You know what? I want to serve a God like this. We thank him first for his goodness. We thank him also for his love. I think Brother Kamau mentioned this earlier in his lesson, in his talk here. Look at how much God loved us, that he steps out of heaven. He sends us a piece of himself. I think that's believe what he said. He sends us a piece of himself to come down on this earth, God in flesh, to walk among us, to identify with our pains and struggles. You know, there are many stories written out there. I remember reading some story and seeing some movies that are kind of tailored toward kids. And usually it's like the prince is in the castle and he's sitting around there bored. And he's going, oh, man, I wonder what the people were like out there. And finally he goes, you know what? I'm gonna switch with somebody. You come in here and you pretend to be the prince. And I'm going to go out amongst the people and go out there and see what real living is about. And the prince goes out there and among the people, and at some point he always gets found out. Isn't that the prince? Right? Y'all remember these stories, right? Isn't that the prince? But I want you to think of the Lord coming down and doing the same thing. He is so grand. He is so high, you know, and he's sitting in his lofty places looking down and going, I wonder what it's like. Because here's perfection. And he puts himself in our place. He tries to walk in our shoes. He tries to put on our clothes. He tries to talk like we talk and think like we think and be the struggles that we go through. And that's exactly what Jesus does. Steps out of his glory and steps onto this earth to walk with us, identify with us, feel what we feel, understand what with the struggles that we're going through, and yet show us that there is still victory through all of this stuff. You know, Jesus had to endure. When he goes in Gethsemane, he's enduring affliction. He's showing us something. You're not going to be able to hear, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in few things. I'll make you rule over men. If you're not going through some things, if you haven't walked through this life and had to be challenged with having to serve even when it hurts, having to continue to walk, you know, even when it hurts to walk. And speaking of that, yesterday we were up on them ladders. My legs hurt. But we walking every day, still walking. Praise God. But here, God, Jesus comes and he gives us himself. He doesn't send someone else. He comes himself. And then, thanks be to God for this gift, this indescribable gift. Indescribable means I can't put words to it. It's so big. It's so wonderful. Yeah, I mean, I've gotten a lot of gifts, material things. I've never had one that was indescribable, except for the spiritual gifts I've received from the Lord, because there's so many, and it goes so deep. And you know why it goes so deep? Because we know our flesh. We know who we are. Who is this God who is so holy and so mighty and so wonderful and perfect who would accept me? Me. That's how good God is, that he loves us while he knows the real us. Thanks be to God for the spiritual blessings we find in Jesus. Ephesians 1:3 says, praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Every spiritual blessing in Christ. When we get in Christ, I want you to think about this for a moment. Getting in Christ, now we're being covered by Christ. No longer is it us. No longer is it me God's looking at. And that's the beauty of being in Christ. That when I stand before him, I'm not going to stand before God in judgment and him looking at me. No, he's looking at Christ that is covering me. And that's what you want. I'm telling you, that's what you want also. Because any of us that try to stand before an almighty and perfect and loving God with our own selves, not enough. It's not enough. Our sins, our very best is as filthy rags. It's not good enough. That's why we need him to cover us. We need the spiritual blessings that are only found in him. You know, this is a sermon series all in itself, all the spiritual blessings that we find in him. And I think that's exactly why it's so indescribable. It's so huge. It's so big because, I mean, when you really stop and try to think about his goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love, what he showers upon us, this new creation we have in Jesus Christ, the fact that we're now redeemed, the fact that we're now sanctified. I don't know, I don't always feel sanctified. I don't always feel holy, but I'm holy. I'm set apart for his perfect use. I am a child of God. I am now brought into the family. I'm adopted in. Woo, there's so many blessings. We can just keep going on and going on. But when you think about it, once again, it reduces. It makes me think how small I am. And when I see how small I am, I see how big God is. I see how big his love is for me. The fact that he even planned, he even had me in his plans before the very foundation of the earth. Man, it's a beautiful thing, and it's something that we ought to be able, that we ought to say thank you to the Lord for. We ought to feel thanks. We ought to give thanks. We ought to say thanks. Fifth, you see how we're running through this? Okay, we're going. I told you. Take your time. Okay, all right. Remember, I'm just kidding. And you're right, we ought to. We got to take time to stop and to think about God's grace and God's mercy and God's love for us and thanking him now for his grace and mercy. Titus 2:11-12 says, the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-control, upright, and godly lives in this present age. Thanking God for his grace and mercy. Once again, it ought to have. When we stop and we think and we look, it ought to cause a change of action. I talked about a change into repentance. Now, I want to show you the change of action that comes as a result of pondering and thinking and reflecting on the goodness of God, his grace, and his mercy. Remember what grace is. Grace is the gift that we've been talking about. This gift, this indescribable gift that God just gives to us. Mercy is him withholding what is rightfully due to us. We rightfully need our due separation because of our sin, separation from his love, separation in relationship with him. But he sees where we are. He sees our need. He sees our problem, and he meets it with the person, Jesus Christ. And Jesus comes and he dies and he redeems us and he buys us back and he brings us into this family. And as we think and reflect upon this grace, this great gift we're given, the way he's withheld what we rightfully deserve, then it says there's a teaching in that. There's a lesson in that for us. What? It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly in this present age. As we reflect on his grace and mercy, it says you've got to live different because of what God has poured into you, because of the blessings, because of this indescribable gift, because he gives it to you who are undeserving, gives it to me who are undeserving. Because of it, as we look at it, we go, my life has to change because of this great gift that has been given to me. I want to say no to the world, and I want to say yes to the giver of all things, to the one, the God who from whom all blessings flow. I want to say yes to him and follow him to the very, very end. Six, we want to thank God for his great and precious promises. 2 Peter 1:4 says, through these he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you might participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world caused by our evil desires. Yeah, I was saying earlier, you know, first of all, what's the purpose of all this? We're not serving God. We're not, you know, living Christian lives simply so at the end of the day we can come in and just say, look, I checked my box and I'm going back home. And all right, Christianity's on the shelf now till next week. Let me take, you know, no, this is a part of our lives now. This is us recognizing, God, you've been so good to me. I owe you my life. You've given your life. And now as I recognize that you've given your life for me, I want to give my life for you in service to you. You know, Paul makes a statement, and oftentimes in many of his letters, he starts off by calling himself a bond servant of Christ. You know what another word for that bondservant is? A slave. One who, and he willfully submitted himself into this. He's saying, I'm putting myself at your feet. Where you say go, I will go. Where you say jump, I will jump. How high, I'm going to follow after you, Lord. You're my master. And I know that has a lot of bad connotations, especially in here in America, but the whole idea is Jesus is Lord of all. And thanks be to God that the way he cares for us, this is the big difference. The big difference is he loves us. He has the best intentions for us. He looks out for us. He's the shepherd, shepherding his sheep, protecting and guiding and leading them in the right ways. So why wouldn't we follow after the shepherd who cares for us and loves us? Why won't we say thank you to him? Even when sometimes we're, man, like David said, even though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. What's the difference of going through dark times? The difference is walking with Jesus, knowing that he's in front. Hey, look, we all gonna have our dark times. Christians have dark times. Non-Christians have dark times. But the difference is the difference that Jesus makes in our lives. And that's the difference. We've got all these beautiful promises, this redemption that we have, and ultimately heaven as our home. Lastly, we thank God for his word. You know, there's so much confusion out there in this world. How do I make it to heaven? How do I make things right with God? How do I get in relationship with the Lord? Now, I'm telling you, you can ask 10 different people and get 10 different things, but the beautiful thing is the word has already settled it. The word has already told us. The word is here. Many people call the Bible the basic instructions before leaving earth, right? Meaning that we've got now we have something that we can refer back to look at and to be able to help us, to be our guide. You know, I sometimes put stuff together and tried to. And usually I buy something and it's got that manual on there. And that manual tells you how to put it together. But I don't know about you. I don't know about you. Sometimes what I do is I think I already know it, right? And it comes in that beautiful box, and the first thing I got the gadget. The gadget is here. Instruction, I don't need that. I'm good. And I'm start putting it together. Matter of fact, I remember one time we were putting together, I bought this big roller coaster. It was like, it wasn't Legos, but something like Lego-like. And I was going to put this roller coaster out for the kids and all this stuff. And matter of fact, I'll tell you the truth. I opened the instructions, and they were like basically in Chinese, little tiny print. So it really wasn't even hardly any use for me. So, but I still probably would have thrown it away and pushed it aside anyway. And I just tried to build it. And guess what? I got middle through that and just said, oh no, I made a mistake like 30 moves ago. I got to go back and start over. Them kids never saw. They never saw that built. I think I put it all back in the box. They saw the box. They had joy for the boxer, I'll tell you that. But you know what? Thank God. God doesn't leave us to our own devices, to our own intellect. No, He shares with us His word. And the beauty of His word says, look, all scriptures God breathed, it's useful. This is His purpose for teaching, for rebuking, for correcting, for training in righteousness, so that the servant of God might be thoroughly equipped for every good work. God knew that we needed something that would teach us and show us and help us to be able to make it to heaven. And so He's given us His word. And I don't know about you, I don't know if you've done much history on the word that we have. So many people died so that we could have this opportunity to have the word in our hands, to read the word for ourselves, and to study it for ourselves. There are many that gave up their lives so we could have this great privilege. And don't leave that Bible on the coffee table collecting dust from years and years of no use. No, open it, because it tells the story of this indescribable gift that God has given to us. It shows our faults, and then it points us to something even more glorious than we could ever imagine. Thank you, Lord. 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 I just want to thank you, Lord. Let's all stand. And you've been so, so good. You have been so, so good. You have been so, so good. And I just want to thank you, Lord. One more time. Oh, and thank you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I just want to thank you, Lord. Stay right there for a moment. Stay right there for a moment. Maybe there's someone here this morning, and you need to say thank you in a completely different way. God has given you life, opportunity after opportunity, open doors, allowed you to even be here this morning just to hear this message about tangible ways to be able to say thank you. Every second on this life is a gift. I was sharing with this in the class. You know, we recognize the past is already done. The future we have no idea anything about, which is what makes this present so important. This moment so important. God has been calling you. How do I know? Because His message goes to all men. His call, the gospel's call, goes to all men. All men hear it. And if you've been here just even a little while, you've heard it. Now what do you do with it? How do you say thank you to a God who's offered Jesus Christ
as the means to redeem us, as the means to buy us back. How do you say thank you? Well, here's one way. One way to say thank you is to surrender to him this morning. One way is to give your life to him. He gave
life for all mankind so that those, there were some that would decide to give their lives for him. Many you see in this room, but maybe you're still standing and you've been still struggling and trying to make this decision of fully surrendering to him. And I just want to say that it will be the best decision you ever made in your life. And I want to say one more thing. You don't have to qualify for it. You don't have to come with your perfect self to him. No, he already understands that you are imperfect. He already understands that you have flaws. He already understands that, you know, he and Jesus came and he died while we were dead in our sins and trespasses, while we were nothing. He knows where you are, and he's waiting for you to make that decision to come to him. He's already given us all. Jesus already did his part at the cross. He already extended this great, indescribable gift to the world. Will you receive it? Will you appreciate it? Will you honor it with your life? This is your opportunity this morning. We've got water ready. It's ready. We got clothes ready for you. We got a nice dressing room. We'll get you. We got a cap even to put over your head if you just got your hair done. We've got all things ready. Why? Because we believe in what Jesus said right here. Look at Acts 2:38. Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And we take that serious here. All things are ready. Is your heart ready? Is your mind ready to make this decision to serve him? If it is, let's just sing one more, one verse of this song. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus.